So we'll be looking tonight at Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Hear the word of the Lord. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law, and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things, and give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. And thus ends the reading of God's word. The grass withers and the flowers of the field fade away. This is the word of God. And God's word stands forever. Let's ask the Lord to help us. The Holy Spirit that filled King David to write these things would be here with us, illuminating the text, opening our eyes to see wonderful things in his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you with thanksgiving for another opportunity to open your word. Thank you that we live in a country where we are taught to read from an early age. Thank you that we live in a country where the scriptures have been translated into our language. Thank you, Lord, that we live in a country where we have the freedom to sing in a public setting like this, even in a hotel where we have signs out on the road. Thank you that we live in a country where we have been blessed with prosperity, that we can afford to have copies of your word for everyone to open and read. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy to us in Christ, that you have brought us here. And that you've given us a desire to worship you and to gather before you to hear your word. And so, Lord, with our Bibles open, we pray that you would come and visit us, speak to us, deal with our hearts, Lord, by your mercy and grace. And continue the work you started in us. We thank you, Lord, that you never put us on a shelf and say that you're done with us. Thank you, Lord, that you take cracked and broken vessels like us, that you bring healing, and you are, as the potter, continuing to work on we, your people, the clay. So continue, Lord, to mold and shape and fashion us to be more like Christ. Even now, in this evening hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a question as we begin tonight, and you don't have to raise your hand to answer. I don't like it when pastors do that, when they put people on the spot. My question, though, is when was the last time that you took some time, a chunk of time, to just sit by yourself and think about your life without distraction, without noise, without the TV, to consider who you are, to think about who you are before the face of God and before a watching world. That is to consider your work, to consider your family relationships, to think about your devotional life, the direction of your life, to pray about your life before God, where you are, who you are, what you're up to, what are your priorities, the direction you're heading. When was the last time you took a mini spiritual retreat? Maybe a good long private walk on the beach. Get up early one morning. Or even the Sunday afternoon where you found a quiet spot without interruptions. Maybe you take your Bible and a notebook. You leave your cell phone behind. You're not interrupted by text messages or anything. Where you took time to have some self-analysis. To examine your heart. Your goals, your priorities, your weaknesses, your struggles with sin, your strengths, your future, the needs of the world around you, the people you know, God's commandments, particularly his command to love your brothers and sisters, to love the world around you, to love your enemies, to love the lost, and to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you did take time to do that, what would you ask of God? How would you do that? What I mean is, how would you pray on such an occasion as that? How would you pray about your life, your goals, your future? How should we pray about ourselves? I know a lot of people think that it's somehow more spiritual to not pray about you, to only pray for the needs of others. But that's not the pattern we find in the Bible. That's not the pattern you find in this psalm. And this psalm is all about the psalmist himself and his relationship before God. Psalm 119, God gives us by His Spirit through King David. The Lord has given us a model, an outline, all through the psalm, but particularly in these verses here tonight, verses 33 through 40, as we'll be looking here. Particularly these verses I want to look at with you. These seven quick lines, you can see I've summarized them on the back of your bulletin. Seven quick lines that you can pray in such a time as that. You can pray them any time during any day. Or take one long day next week to think about this. Or one extended walk to find a bench somewhere and sit down and consider your life before God. I've listed them on the back of your order of worship so you can use it again and look back on it. I'd like to look at each one of these verses very quickly tonight from the Scriptures and see what the Lord has for us. First line there in verse 33, Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I'll keep it to the end. That's what the ESV says. The NIV, teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees, and I'll keep them to the end. You'll find in Psalm 119 that there's the repetition of statutes, decrees, commandments, your law, your testimonies. All these things are synonyms for the Scriptures, for the Word of God. David's desire is to be taught by God. Ultimately, God is the best teacher of all. You think of all the lessons that the Lord has taught you that nobody else could have taught you, but God taught you. They didn't come about, those lessons, in a typical classroom setting. Lessons about life. Maybe lessons you had to learn the hard way that God has taught you. David's desire is for the Lord to teach him through his statutes or his decrees. Teach me your statutes, your word. Lord, teach me your truth. It's interesting, David has no doubt about the author of this book. He says they're your statutes. He knows the one who is the source of the decrees. They're not a product of any man, even though they were penned by, as David might be thinking of, Moses and the Old Testament Pentateuch, the first few books of the Bible. He knows these are the very words of God. David knows this isn't a man-made book. And he prays with a goal in mind, with a goal of keeping the Word of God, of following the Word of God, of obedience to the Word of God. So, wonderful paraphrase of this verse, and I think it's in the Message. It says, God, teach me lessons for living from your Word so I can stay the course. I want to ask you, is that your heartfelt attitude as you come and sit under the preaching of the Word? Is that what you pray before you read the Bible? Lord, teach me something today. Open my eyes, Lord, that I might see wonderful things from your Word. Is that why you spend time in personal devotions? Or is it so that you can say that you've done them? Check them off. I did my devotion. Or is it because you really want to grow in the Lord? God can do so much with a teachable heart. You know, the hypocrite doesn't want to pray this prayer. The hypocrite, who's just by profession, he doesn't want to keep the decrees of God. The hypocrite doesn't really want to follow God's commandments. You see, this is a prayer that only one who has come to know the Savior can pray from his heart. This is a prayer that only one who has a new heart, a renewed heart, can pray. One who wants to grow in grace. So in that sense, this verse is a very good thermometer of the genuineness of your faith. Do you want the Lord to teach you and give you a teachable heart so you can walk faithfully before the Lord, so that you can stay the course the rest of your life to the very end, the verse says, to the end of your life? Was that your prayer? You don't want to be just a flash in the pan. I don't want this just to be a temporary thing, Lord. I need you to teach my heart that's sometimes so hard.
I need you, Lord. Bind my wandering heart close to you through your word. I want to do this. I want to walk with you. I want to keep this, Lord, to the very end. I don't want to end up as a crusty, hardened man at the end of my life or woman. Lord, I want to be tender and teachable all the days of my life. Teach me, Lord. The second line of the prayer is, give me understanding. Verse 34. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Next here, David prays for an understanding of the Word of God. Not just to know facts, but to understand truth. That is, to apply it, to connect the dots, you might say, personally. If God says this, then this is what this means for me, and this is what it means for my work, and this is what it means for my relationship with my family, and this is what it means for my relationship with that very difficult person in my neighborhood. And you connect those dots and say, this is then what I must do and how must I live. This is how this text, this portion of God's word affects me. My work, my behavior, my relationships, my decision making, my priorities, my future. It means to live a life of wisdom. Wisdom isn't the same as knowledge. Wisdom is when you take what you know and you apply it to life, right? And you do it. When I first went to Haiti over 30 years ago as an exchange student, I remember so many schools were still using the old French method of education, the old French system, where everything was learned by rote. A history lesson with a paragraph from a book. The teacher would write the paragraph on the board. The students would write the paragraph then in their notebooks. And then they would go home and they would memorize the paragraph. And you could see students at night sitting out under a street lamp, because the village that I was in didn't have electricity, but they did have some street, a few street lights. People would be sitting under those street lights, memorizing their lessons. Then in class, each student would stand up and recite their paragraph, one after another. But if you asked the students in private, what does that mean? Now, oftentimes they read it. They recited it in French, which wasn't their native language. It wasn't Haitian Creole, which is what they spoke at home. So half the words they didn't understand anyway. But they had no idea what it meant or how it applied to life, what it meant for them today. What did that have to do with you today? They couldn't tell you. But they could recite the facts. Which is interesting, because that's the way so many people study the Bible. They just learn facts. One of our great needs, I think, is not just to learn the Word of God and memorize it, but to apply it, to think about it, to let it roll around in your mind and apply it to every situation. What's the purpose? Well, what does David say here? To keep your law with my whole heart, to keep your commandments with my heart. I want to do that. I want to walk with you, Lord. I want to live a life pleasing before you. So often, there's people that obey the Lord rigidly, but their heart isn't in it. That's not what God wants. You know, the hypocrite, he won't want to pray this prayer. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. No, the hypocrite doesn't want understanding. The hypocrite doesn't want to obey the statutes of the Lord. The hypocrite keeps looking for a loophole, right? Of how can I avoid obeying the law, obeying God's word? I'm fine without knowing anymore. The hypocrite says, you see, this is a prayer that only one who's come to know the Savior will want to pray. This is a prayer that only one who has a new heart, a renewed heart, can pray. So in that sense, this verse too is a good thermometer of your genuineness, the genuineness of your faith before the Lord. Do you want more understanding of what God has for me so that I can live a life pleasing to Him, so that I can obey Him with an undivided heart? There's no joy in having a divided heart. Give me understanding, Lord. The third prayer, the third quick line that you can pray any time of day, verse 35, direct me. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. The NIV says, direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Or as the message says, guide me down the road of your commandments. I love traveling this freeway. Here David prays that he would bow to the will of God. Not only to know it, not only to understand it, but that the Spirit of the Lord would direct then his life and his decisions. And you think about what David had as far as the commandments and the decrees and the statutes of the Lord. We are in an even better place than David. We have the rest of the Bible. We have the rest of the Old Testament that David didn't have yet, the prophets. And we have all of the New Testament. We stand on this side of the cross. In fact, Jesus says of us, "Blessed are your eyes for the things that you see, for many prophets and kings long to see the things that you see and never saw them." We stand in an even more blessed spot than King David because we see Christ and all that he's done in the Scriptures. We have the rest of the Bible. We stand on this side of the cross. And we stand on this side of Pentecost when the Lord poured out his Spirit in fullness to lead us in the truth and to apply the truth to our hearts more abundantly. And you think about this, the Lord loves it when you ask him for guidance. God loves it when we pray to him. He delights in those who seek his face. He says, "Call on me. Call on me." He gives us this as a pattern. "Lord, direct me, lead me, show me the path I should take. You know what is best." You shouldn't be afraid to pray that. "Lord, I don't know which way to go. Show me which way to go." God delights in that. When I was up in Gainesville just the last couple of days, I met for breakfast a student from the University of Florida. For breakfast, before our meetings began, he's a senior at the university, a poli-sci major and Spanish major, very similar to what I studied in college. He has a heart for Haiti. Donna and I, in fact, met him on an airplane earlier this year, and we've kept in touch. I was walking down the aisle of the airplane, and I saw this young man sitting there with a box covered Bible. It said ESV, and I thought, ESV Bible in a study Bible in a box? Who's this? So I asked him if he was a seminary student. He said, "No, I'm a college student." He's in Navigators, college group. And we got to talking and ended up actually giving him a ride after they got through customs. This young man and a friend realized they didn't have a way to get to their car. So we got to spend more time talking with him. And as I had breakfast with him just a couple days ago, he asked me a great question. He said, "How do you make decisions in life?" Isn't that a great question? How do you make decisions? And I said, "Would that be because you're a senior and about to graduate and you don't know what to do next?" He said, "Exactly." What a great conversation. He's looking towards the next stage of life. What a great way to talk about practical ways that God guides us in decision making. And it all starts with a prayer like this: "Lord, lead me. Guide me, Lord." You know, the hypocrite doesn't want to pray this prayer. "Lead me, guide me, direct me in the path of your commandments, for there I find delight." No, the hypocrite doesn't want God's guidance. The hypocrite sees the Lord's direction as chains on him. No, the hypocrite keeps looking for a shortcut, an easier way, a different way. You see, this is a prayer that only the one who's come to know the Lord Jesus Christ can pray. This is a prayer that only one who has a new heart, a renewed heart, will realize. My heart, my desires, my sinful thoughts, they keep clouding up my view. "Lord, you need to direct my steps so I don't fall off a cliff or run into a dead end." See, in that sense, again, this verse is a good thermometer of the genuineness of your faith. Do you want the Lord to give you direction in life? And then there's the fourth little prayer here, verse 36. I've summarized it as, "Turn my heart," which actually is from the NIV, "Turn my heart to your statutes and not to selfish gain." Or as our ESV says, "Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain." Next, you see David prays for the attitude of his heart, that God would turn his heart toward his word. While many people around turn to the things of this world, that's what the Bible describes as selfish gain. Because David knows that the love of money can really knock us off course. The Word of God says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. That's why the The New Living Bible says of this verse, give me an eagerness for your laws rather than a love for money. Is that the way you pray? Lord, give me an eagerness. Give me an eagerness for your word. Lord, my biggest problem is my own heart. Deal with my heart. Change, Lord, the bent of my heart. Incline my heart to you. Give me a new eagerness. Not for stuff, but for you. And to live a life pleasing to you. That's a healthy way to pray. To recognize that the root of every sin is found in your heart. And so, Lord, deal with my heart. Turn it, Lord, to you. And again, you know, the hypocrite doesn't want to pray this prayer. The hypocrite doesn't want to say, oh, Lord, incline my heart. He might say it with his lips, but he doesn't mean it in his heart. Search my heart, what we sang earlier. See if there be any wicked way in me. No, the hypocrite doesn't want the Lord to get close to his heart. That's the nature of hypocrisy. People only see an outside shell. They don't see the real thing on the inside. The hypocrite wants to keep matters of the heart far away, hidden and cloaked because they're too uncomfortable. You see, this is a prayer that only one who's come to be born again who want to pray this prayer. This is a prayer that only one who has a new heart, that God has renewed, will want to pray. With the one who realizes my old heart, my old nature keeps causing me problems. When that old man keeps rearing its ugly head, Lord, you've got to change my heart more and more. I'm sick of the remnants of my old heart. Lord, give me a new heart. Incline my heart to you. Turn my heart, Lord. So in that sense, again, this verse is a good thermometer of the genuineness of your faith. Do you want the Lord to keep changing your heart? Is that why you're here tonight? And quickly now, the fifth prayer, he says in verse 37, turn my eyes. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things or away from worthless things. Give me life in your ways. Preserve my life according to your word. You know, some may think that it's just our present day culture that has issues with the eyes, with pornography and all kinds of visual distractions of the computerized age. But all generations have had issues with what you see. In fact, Adam and Eve in the garden saw the fruit, saw that it was delightful for the eyes. And the pagan temples of the biblical era were filled with all kinds of visual images that drew people astray. David prays, oh Lord, turn my heart. Turn my eyes away because my eyes are the channel to my heart. My hunch is that David wrote this psalm after his sin with Bathsheba. That's my hunch. When he saw her, remember, from the rooftop of his palace, saw her bathing. How many times he surely wished he could go back and rewind the clock and do that day over. Instead of dwelling what he saw, instead of turning his eyes away, which eventually led to great sin and great misery. David knows from experience that the eyes are the channel to the heart. The pleasures and glittering images that bedazzle our eyes cause us to fall. Matthew Henry said, the eye, when fastened on these, infects the heart with the love of them, that is the things of this world, and of it is alienated from God and divine things. Again, the hypocrite doesn't want to pray this prayer. Turn my eyes from worthless things. He doesn't really want that. He wants privacy. He wants God to turn his eyes away from him so that God won't see what he's doing, right? You see, this is a prayer that only one who has come to faith in the Son of God will want to pray. This is a prayer that only one who has a new heart, a renewed heart, will realize. My eyes keep causing me problems. Lord, you have to turn my eyes away from worthless things and more fix my gaze on Christ alone. So in that sense, this verse 2 is a good thermometer of the genuineness of your faith. Do you want the Lord to be your most valuable prize? The sixth little prayer, fulfill your promises to me, verse 38, is in our text, confirm your servant to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. One of the things I think we don't do enough is to fix our thoughts on God's promises for ourselves. And so we end up worrying and stressed because we're not dwelling on the promises of God. We're dwelling more on the problems of man. Well, we need to fix our thoughts on God's promises. List them as we read them. Underline them. Roll them over in our mind. God, you promised this to me. Fulfill it. You promised to guide your people. So Lord, guide me. You promised to bless your people so that we'll be a blessing. Lord, bless me that I might be used by you. You promised good to me. Lord, I don't see how this situation can turn out for good, but you promised it. So, Lord, I'm holding you to your promise. Lord, you promised to sanctify me. That is to make me a more godly man. Fulfill your promise to me because I don't feel very holy today. Lord, you promised to be my strong tower. I'm afraid right now. You promised you would never leave me. I need that right now, Lord. I need you. You promised to provide for me. I need that assurance right now. You promised to guide me through the valley of the shadow of death. And right now, Lord, I feel death looming over me in this situation. You see, we're to pray according to God's promises. And what's David's goal? Why does he want God to fulfill his promises? So that he may grow in awe of God. And you know, the hypocrite, he may want the promises, but not with the goal of standing in the awe of God and walking in the fear of God. That's just the opposite of what the hypocrite wants. And lastly, preserve me, Lord. Verse 39 and 40. Turn away the reproach I dread, for your rules are good. Behold, I long for your precepts, for in your righteousness, Lord, give me life. Preserve me. I have no righteousness in and of myself. I need your righteousness, Lord, and I pray that you would continue the work you've started in me, making me to be more righteous. Preserve my life. Deliver me from my enemies, spiritual and physical. Deliver me, Lord, from my temptations. Deliver me from myself, my sins. Preserve my life in your righteousness, because that's my only hope. It's in Christ, my righteousness, that I'm safe. Lord, give me more of Christ. Give me more love for him. Help me, Lord, to be quick to fly to him. Give me him, more of his life. I want to encourage you, take time for a little mini retreat. Just you and the Lord. Take your Bible. Go somewhere. Pray about your life before God. Take this little list. Especially if you felt stale in your spiritual life lately, or stressed in your spiritual life lately. Especially if you know you're not where you should be. If you've been grappling with what to do with your life. If you're wanting to make a change and get serious with the Lord. There are 7 quick lines you can pray. Teach me, Lord. Give me understanding. Direct me. Turn my heart. Turn my eyes. Fulfill your promises. And preserve me in your righteousness. And then expect the living God to answer your prayers, because he gave these to you as a gift. You often hear people say, I just wish I knew the will of God. Well, here's the will of God right here. Laid out for you. As we close, there's only one person who ever prayed these prayers with faithfulness, consistency, love for God, and 100% honesty, and sang them with delight and with joy. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the singer of the Psalms. And he is the only one who can forgive you for when you've not cared at all about these things. He's the only one. He's the only one. There's only one way that you can be forgiven. By the God has given you this as a directive for your life. There's only one God, only one who can forgive you for the days when these prayers have not even been on your radar screen at all. You will not want to pray these without a heart that's been renewed. Praise be to God for his grace in Christ. We cry out to him for mercy, that he would continue the work that he started in us. Amen. Let us pray.